Hey baby, I was just watching CNN.
Da-na-na.
Jake Tapper was just talking about Pete Buttigieg is coming to Wisconsin next week for a town hall meeting.
Nice.
What do you think that might mean?
I think he's gonna run.
I think he is too. You know what's crazy? You were saying it earlier about how dudes gotta wear a beard and shit all. That's crazy. You gotta wear a beard to like feel accepted. To look like tougher or whatever and shit.
To, like, I don't know how to say this. Like, so that the people that don't accept that he's gay, you know. So, it's kind of, I was saying earlier, like, who you're married to and, like, that stuff has nothing to do with how you can do your job.
Because there's a lot of or like people if you're, that do whatever kind of jobs.
Yeah, and like for some reason, like if a candidate isn't married, that's also a problem.
Oh yeah, that's always been kind of weird to me.
Like why?
In fact,
they would have more time to be president. Because they don't have a husband or wife or kids. So they'd have more time. They'd work harder. They have nothing else to do. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know why you're, like, mentally disqualified if you're single. You know, or, like, how Kamala didn't have kids of her own. What? Why does that matter? Like, because that was an issue. Like, people wanted to know why she didn't have kids. Maybe she couldn't.
Right, you don't really even know the situation.
Like, maybe she couldn't. Maybe she didn't want to put her career... Maybe she wanted to put her career first, and that's okay. So, I don't know. People are real picky. Like, that's the last thing you should be worrying about. Because look at what's happening now. If you're, like, you know, those, when we watched that CNN, that ladies forum. And she was just like, well, I don't really like his character, but... You know, I like the policy. It's like, well, now I would like to interview that lady now.
I know, right?
I would really like.
You're like, how are you feeling about that?
So, how are you feeling about it now?
Mm-hmm. We're watching Young and the Restless too, y'all. Nick's in the hospital and shit. What happened to him, baby?
He got into a car accident and Matt Clark went missing. My God. I'm having a hard time keeping up because these storylines, like, Sharon's going from, like, one trauma incident to another. Remember when her and Phyllis were kidnapped? Before that, they were, like, dosing her with fucking PCP. And then she got out of that incident with Sharon or with Phyllis. And then something else happened. And she's...
Like, I don't know how they don't commit suicide.
She's been, like, literally crying for, like, a year and a half on screen. My eyes would fall out. I mean, I can't even cry normally. I don't know if I'd be able to cry on command. I did cry at, I watched that Robert De Niro movie, Everything's Fine.
You did. You came in the room and was like, a little wet substance came down.
Yeah, a little bit. I was a little verklempt. So you're having wings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not having any. And then the cream cheese gratin potato medallions and crab cakes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have one crab cake. No, I ain't having crab cake. I might have a bite.
Okay.
I'm going to have one potato, and then I put 7 chicken wings.
Do we still have those buns?
No, the buns were bad. They went bad yesterday.
Oh.
Damn, wait, what's today, the 6th?
Yeah.
Yeah, they went bad today.
They went bad today.
They went bad today.
I would have eaten it.
Damn. You know what? My bad on that. I went to the store too. I should have grabbed some bread.
Bread.
But you know what? I bought bread last week and I'm the only one that ate any of it.
I know, it's like I'm on or off.
You're on or off with it.
It's like if
you'll
we get
plan,
a whole...
plan, you'll be like, oh, let's have sandwiches, but then we don't end up eating. Neither
well,
one of us.
I am not eating lunch meat till further notice. Because we had that bad turkey. But
that had me feeling like...
Now, salami, different story, because that's a cured meat. So it lasts long, much longer. But I like the really soft Genoa salami, not the hard salami. I'm not a fan. I like the really soft stuff.
Side note, why do blue Solo cups cost more than the red ones in the stores? Anyone notice that? I mean, there's like a huge difference too. Like, I bought the red Solo cups. They're like $4. And the blue ones, and they had the same amount. The blue ones were like $8. Hi, Chewy. You smell that food in the oven? You ready to go watch the game?
Oh, my God. Look at how he tilts his head when you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Bubba.
What do you want for your birthday? I'm about to turn 2.
Terrible twos. And you have a little heart on the tip of your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Your little hand on the counter.
Better get it off of there. I'm about to eat. Get your hand down. I'm going to have to clean that. Yeah, but we got this stuff in the oven. I'm going to watch some games. And then I had some pecan ice cream, butter pecan ice cream with bananas and caramel on it already.
We had haddock for lunch.
And beef empanadas. We should make those.
I need like an empanada press.
So what will we? Okay, so then we would just
then make the dough.
Okay.
And then you could use like taco meat or shredded chicken.
Or shredded beef.
Shredded pork, like you can make.
Yeah, whatever you want it. About to cook some haddock, y'all. I think I'm gonna bake it, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna make. Well, you know.
Packets. Oh.
We don't have foil.
Oh dang. Okay.
So, that's what I was about to come ask you. What do you think we should line the pan with?
I would use the Linda pan.
Oh yeah, because that would be a nonstick.
And put it in there, and then you can make parchment paper packets instead.
I don't think we got any of that left either.
Oh.
I'll check.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm about to make some haddock that we got from when we went on our Wild Fork trip the other day. I'm thinking about doing some chicken wings too, just to have, but maybe not. I'm not sure, but.
Okay, you can cook from frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And it says brush both sides of the fish with oil and seasoning, and season as desired. Bake for 18 to 22 minutes.
I wonder if we have some straggler foil around.
Damn.
All right, we're going to look for foil, y'all. We're about to make some haddock.
Well, you could just oil the pan.
Real good.
Yeah.
That's true.
I would, squirt it and then brush it on.
I'm going to make, still deciding what I want to season it with.
Uh,
What are you thinking for the seasoning, baby?
There's that Key West seasoning. That's for fish. Yeah,
from Wild Fork.
Yeah.
We've had it for a long time, though. I probably should check the date.
Okay. And then Old Bay is for fish, too.
Okay,
I would say this relish is good.
It's been in the fridge for at least a year. How long is relish good? We could Google real fast. We should Google it real quick.
Okay.
We're going to check. Because I'm going to make some tartar sauce. Huh?
I don't think pickles go bad.
I really don't think it does either, but I'll feel better knowing for certain. I need to hear a date. Sure. It even sounds old when you open the top. Oh, damn.
It's
9
to
12
months.
9 to 12 months? Shit, no, I ain't doing it. That's cutting it close.
You can make kind of like an aioli. I would mix like...
some garlic? A garlic aioli? Olive oil?
I would use like the mayo, garlic, and dill.
We do have dill too.
Yeah, it's in that bag.
Okay, 375.
Okay, so preheat the oven to 375. That's done. And then I'm gonna make I'm gonna make some make a little season, you know. And then, we don't have foil, so I just made sure the bottom of the pan is oiled real good. Shit, I could make, you don't want it, okay. All right, so I'm going to make this oil. Let's see, where is the wild, here it is, yep, this is the Key West seasoning.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll use that. And Old Bay, you said? Okay. All right. So I'm going to do that, y'all. We'll be right back when things start sizzling. Baby, how many should I do? 4? Mm-hmm. So we'll do 4 of them. Does 6 come in the pack? No, wait, I thought it was supposed to be 6.
No.
No, there's 5 of them up in here. I thought it was supposed to be 6. We might have to go get our refund. I'm just playing, y'all. I'm just playing, baby. I just wanted to sound bougie for a minute. Michelle's over in the lab. She's got this look on her face like she's irritated with somebody at work.
Isn't that obvious?
Yeah, am I right?
I am.
Damn, I called it right, y'all, because I'm in the kitchen. She's over in her office-like area. And, I just looked over at her and I could tell. See, we've been together so long, like we know, like we know each other that well. I was like, she's got that look on her face like she's mad at someone at work. And she was like, she is mad at somebody at work.
All right.
So I'm gonna cut these open real quick. They're not that big. I'm gonna do 4 of them. I'm supposed to put olive oil. You think I should just rub the just put the seasoning right on top of it instead of making all like a making an aioli? Because the fish is gonna be wet from me putting the olive oil on it, so I could probably just pour the seasoning. Yeah. You know, just flip both sides.
Yeah. And then we'll have the aioli on the side.
Yeah. These are gonna fit just perfect. I use like kind of like a medium size baking sheet or whatever. But the key is just making sure that they're oiled good because we don't have foil. I did not feel like going. Okay. See what I'm gonna do? I grab like a small cup. And then I got like those, you know, that little brush or whatever. You can like brush oil on stuff or whatever, whatever. So I got the fish on the pan, on the baking pan. So I just poured some olive oil in the cup. I already olive oiled the bottom of the pan tray or whatever. So now what I'm going to do is just pour some of the Wild Fork up in the cup. And then some of the Old Bay up in the fork. Hey, baby, would you come do the rationing? And then I'm gonna have her dip them. I thought we could pour the stuff into there and then I could just brush it and then flip them over and just stir it up.
Oh, put the seasoning in with the olive oil?
Yeah, and then I can stir it and then brush.
Oh, sure.
Flip both sides. That's not enough. Okay. See, the master didn't come through, babe.
Use the olive oil.
Olive oil, right here. Michelle didn't come through. I got the oven already set, 375. I don't even think we used this seasoning yet. This might be the first time.
Salt, garlic, coriander, dried onion, ginger, parsley, turmeric, green onion, and lemon.
It ain't old, is it? Silence. She's pouring in the Old Bay.
And Old Bay has salt, celery seeds, or celery salt spices that include red pepper, black pepper, and paprika.
And now I'll stir that up a little bit, and then I'll brush it. Brush both sides. Thanks, baby. Okay. A little bit, and then I got the brush. Okay, let's see how it tastes. That's pretty decent. Okay. Now I'm gonna brush this fish with this stuff. Oh yeah. Some jazz music in the back. Getting this fish ready. And then I'm gonna make like some, you know, like tartar sauce, like type, you know, stuff for after. Okay, now let me flip these over the other side. That sounds familiar, that the melody or whatever of this jazz song. See if y'all can recognize it. That fish in now. Let's see. It says, how long did it say? I think like 18 minutes or something. 18 to 22. Definitely to go to 22. Temperature of 145. Ovens vary, so additional time may be needed. Do not thaw and refreeze. Cook and consume within 24 hours of thawing. Oh, so we got one more left in here. It's saying you ain't supposed to throw it back in the freezer.
If it's already thawed.
Right, it's not.
Right, so just put it back.
It's saying you ain't, well, yeah, you're right, okay. All right, y'all, so now that's got to figure out how to, I might just have Michelle, if she's willing to make this, make the aioli. Because I don't want to mess that up. Because that's going to be crucial to go on top of the fish afterwards. So I don't want to mess that up. I might make these chicken wings. We got some golden hot chicken wings. Dry rubbed with garlic, heat and honey, granules or whatever that is, for a flavor inspired by Southern recipes. Yeah, check Wild Fork out. They're good. I have no complaints with them yet. Made with chicken that is never given antibiotics or hormones. All right, y'all. Frozen is fresher. Ooh, we got all kinds of stuff up in here too. Vanilla bean ice cream. We got Oh, we still got an empanada up in here. I'm about to throw that in.
Oh, there's two.
Oh, there's two. Oh man, those are going in right now. I you know, we still had two empanadas left. I'm about to throw those in there. And then we got these cream and cheese gratin. Like, they're like fresh baked potatoes with rich cream and French and mento cheese or whatever that is. These are good, y'all. Michelle's got me eating bougie sometimes. She ain't bougie at all. Sometimes, every once in a while, she'll bougie it up, though. But she don't mind the struggle meals and all that shit. She don't like the prison hookups. I made a couple prison hookups. She tried it. All right, y'all. Don't be judging me. I'm just playing, y'all. All right. I'm going to have a cigarette, though. I got the fish in. And, damn, that might not go good, though. Fish and empanadas.
Oh, sure.
Really? It will? All right, I'm going to throw them in then. All right, I'm going to throw these two empanadas in. Let's see. All right, yep, these are, we got two beef empanadas left. These are from Wild Fork as well. So they're saying no artificial colors. Artificial flavors, phosphates or MSG. These are really good, y'all. I wish, no, I think that's a pretty decent six in a box. That's pretty solid. Yeah, these are really good, though. So I'm gonna throw these in right now. How chewy. So here's the question, though. When you have two things in the oven, and they're sharing the oven, and both of them require different temperatures, what do you do? One of them's supposed to be 4, and the other one's 375. Because I just put the empanadas in, and we have the fish in as well.
I do the lower one.
375?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, y'all, I'm going to do this oven thing. Listen to this jazz music for a minute. We'll be dual tasking, like we'll be doing all kinds of stuff. We're listening to jazz music, cooking fish. I'll make some chicken too. Shit. No, I'm just playing. Alright, y'all. My new clippers came. So I hooked those up. New wall clippers. So I'm gonna cut my hair later. See, listen, these are the wall clippers. They got all the guards and stuff on there. Yeah. And then we got two packs of Newport sitting right here too. All right, y'all. Sure. All right, y'all, back to the episode, though. Nomi's gonna, yeah, she's definitely gonna. She's in Japan, yep. Shout out Nomadic Introvert. We're gonna play just a few seconds of it since we happen to be recording while we're just checking the YouTubes and she just uploaded a new video, so. Yeah, check her out, Nomadic Introvert on the YouTube. She does really good work. We watch all her episodes. And she has another one called Elsewhere 777.
Maybe I should get me a balloon. Nah. Let's go.
She's in Japan. At Disney World.
So this is so cool. We found our first Disney character. What? How many characters do you think we'll be able to see today? Oh, I can hear myself think a little bit better. It's sunny out today, which is a good thing. Let's go look at the official, I think this is like the official like Disney castle. Any Disney fans watching, please tell me what the name of this castle is. But it's the castle that you see, you know, in all of like the Disney commercials and all of that. With the fireworks in the background. This is Japan's version of it, so let's go take a look. The official Disney castle of Japan. If you know the name of this castle or what it stands for, let me know. I'm not a Disney buff person, but I want to show you guys around before we try some of this delicious food. I see the sun is coming out.
I believe that's the Sleeping Beauty castle, but I could be wrong. I've never been to Disney.
I went to the one in California.
Michelle's been everywhere, y'all. I can't wait to start traveling.
So the first thing I'm going to try are these Monster Inc.
All right, y'all. But yeah, check out Nomadic Introvert.
What better way to start the food tour?
Chewy, you cannot have Doritos.
Here at Tokyo Disneyland. So, let's try it.
Yep, she's in Tokyo Disneyland.
Thank you. So for about 400 yen, you get three of these little monsters. Kind of see the eyes? They're really sticky and cold. Let's give it a try.
Oh, it's food.
It's like mochi, if I'm saying it right. And there's like a strawberry filling.
All right, y'all, go check her out, though. Her facial expressions are funny when she, like, when she eats food. Whatever it is, she said it tastes like sherbet or something. Yeah, she's in Tokyo. I mean, more power to her. Like, she travels all over the place. I don't think I want to be that. You know what I mean?
It's chocolate.
One more interlude, y'all. One more interlude. It's Davies. Play about 90 seconds.
Talk about easy and busy, like I got a clock to punch him. Knocking the locks on a major deal and cops can't look at him. Tending for sure, had it lost, they cop to the dead. My life a horror movie, school too hard to watch it again. Pulled up with a 20 clip just cause my blocks need a 10. It's time to tighten up, business getting sloppy again. We go to two, my staff, the law, I know my auntie is fed up. So get your hand, wartime chops in the spread. Pockets was net, white rice, tilapia fish. Rapping got my life public, I was private as shit. Scratch the cereal off and pray to God I don't miss it. This rap shit can get you clap, I pray to God they don't diss. Before I went to sleep broke, I pray to God I was rich. If you get it soft, cook it, take the heart of the strip. My Madison Square, pull up to the garden with Nick's. All the niggas told me ice my neck before I'm out. I feel to be a real nigga. Shit on my mind, I make you kill, nigga.
But it was over, niggas bugged out. I was tossing vibes, times get high, you got thug out. Homies in the field, I make that call from the dugout. Hit me on the jack, but ain't no chatting in this clubhouse. Homie, that's a fact, they think I'm calm, but that's just my demeanor. You can't find it in you to help yourself, I can't find it either. Like how you say you want it, but you lazy and ain't trying either. Larry Went found a preacher, but if you really know him, you silhouette shit like diarrhea. The pool in the box feel like we just left out IKEA, that's crazy. But I've seen you have no idea, my dear. A homegirl keep a strap, be looking like she my dear. Swear Tyler Perry, my dear, just try to keep my mind.
To counterbalance, fight back. And
this is from WKOW.com. Out of Lake Delton, Wisconsin, which is like the Dells area. A Reedsburg man is now serving a prison sentence for setting fire to a home in Lake Delton. 41-year-old Christopher Steinmetz started a fire at the home of his ex-girlfriend's family in October of 2022. There were two adults and three children inside at the time. The Sauk County DA's office said the family was forced to escape from a second-story window and jumped down to safety. The home was a total loss, and the fire resulted in the death of the family dog. Steinmetz was convicted of arson, 5 counts of recklessly endangering safety, and criminal damage to property. He was sentenced to 30 years in prison and 15 years of extended supervision.
45 years.
This sentence is a powerful affirmation that our local justice system takes the protection of our community, especially from repeat premeditated offenders who show a callous disregard for human life, with the utmost seriousness, said DA Michael Albrecht. Mr. Steinmetz's senseless campaign of terror against this family, which included endangering them in their own home and resulting in the tragic death of their dog, is now over. This 30-year sentence ensures the greater Sauk County community is protected from this significant danger for decades. The DA says the trial presented extensive evidence that Steinmetz was a serial arsonist, including proof of multiple other fires he set at the home of other members of the ex-girlfriend's family, and one at his own mother's home. Damn.
What happened, baby?
So they had evidence that he, like, started fires at, like, other family members of this ex-girlfriend.
Damn. He was taking it out on everybody.
Everybody.
I'm gonna check the food.
Okay, so I have another crime time. This is from ExpressUS.com. The Silence of the Lambs, an Oscar-winning film that introduced Hannibal Lecter to the mainstream, is a chilling spectacle familiar to millions. However, what's less known is that some of the movie's most horrifying scenes, and arguably its most terrifying character, are reportedly inspired by a real-life kidnapper, rapist, and murderer accused of dismembering and cooking his victims. In the 1991 film, audiences witnessed James Buffalo Bill Gum confining one of his victims in a pit in his basement. While it may seem too gruesome to be true, the actions bear a striking resemblance to those of Gary Heidnik, a killer who imprisoned six women in a self-dug pit in his basement where he repeatedly assaulted them physically and sexually, resulting in the death of two. His attorney later detailed how he cooked parts of one of the bodies. Chuck Perito stated, Heidnik was cooking the girl's head and was getting ready to get rid of certain body parts because he didn't want anyone to be identified. It was his 148 IQ kicking in. Heidnik was not putting them all in one spot. He was burying them all over the place.
You said he was cooking her head?
Cooking her head, yes. Neighbors recounted the horrific stench emanating from Heidnik's Philadelphia residence before his eventual capture. Doris Zabolki, an next-door neighbor, told Philadelphia Magazine, I kept calling the city. There was one day I asked Gary about the smell. He said, I haven't smelled anything. I've been cooking. Maybe you just don't like my cooking.
Whoa. She said something didn't smell right.
Right. Even when a cop first showed up, Heidnik dismissed the odor and the officer left. According to reports, the officer remembered, I proceeded to knock on the door for approximately 10 to 15 minutes. I then proceeded to the rear of the premise where I did some more knocking and looked through the rear window. I could see a large pot. Something was over boiling, and the smell was twice as strong in the back of the house. I was about to call for a supervisor. But neighbor Zabolki continues the tale. All of a sudden, the door opens. Gary walks out. I said, Gary, what is that god-awful smell? What is that burning? I'm cooking a roast. I fell asleep and it burnt, he said, and then the cop left. Eventually, when one of his victims escaped, police do enter. They entered his home and discovered a horrifying crime scene, a torture chamber where three women were still chained to a pipe in a pit dug in the basement. Another two women had already been killed, one electrocuted and one starved to death while chained up. Sadly, it seems that knowledge of Heidnik's horrific actions were available long before his eventual capture. After founding his own church and hosting services at his home, one attendee reportedly claimed there was a woman held captive in the basement. However, this claim was dismissed as far-fetched, and no action was taken. He put me in a hole in the basement floor. Heidnik's reign of terror commenced in November 1986 with the abduction of his first known victim. She was hustling on the corner when Heidnik approached her in his car. After negotiating a $20 fee for sex, he brought her back to his house where he came up behind her and grabbed her by her neck. She wasn't able to breathe and then she went unconscious. Next, he took her to his basement. She recounted, I saw this big hole in the floor and plastic bags full of dirt were stacked in the corner. He shackled my legs to a chain. He put me in a hole in the basement floor. A week later, she heard his voice and a girl's voice coming down the basement. Four more women would be added to his grim collection by the end of March 1987. All victims were between the ages of 18 and 25. Reports indicate that Heidnik routinely beat and raped the women, keeping them barely alive on a diet of store-brand dog and cat food.
What?
He also... I lost my spot now. Okay, he also forced them to inflict violence upon each other. In a chilling act of punishment...
Crab cakes for you, baby.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Heidnik hung Sandra Lindsay by her arms for 3 days because she ate slowly. Another victim recounted she was up there for 3 days standing. Then it looked like she was just hanging down sleeping. I went over to smack her face and Gary came back downstairs saying she was playing, but she was dead. We could hear a sound like an electric saw. Then there was a terrible smell. One survivor shared the horrifying aftermath, stating, Gary took her chain off and he carried her body upstairs. I could see that Gary was upset. We were all upset because we didn't know what he was going to do. I was afraid that he would panic and take it out on all of us. Later on, we could hear a sound like an electric saw. Then we started to smell a terrible odor for like 3 to 4 days. Another woman, Deborah Dudley, met a tragic end when Heidnik electrocuted her. He buried her in a remote area. Heidnik's reign of terror ended when he took one of his victims out to find another woman to kidnap. She convinced him to trust her and to do it alone. When he agreed, she fled and phoned police from a phone booth. David Savage, a former police officer who responded, recalled she told a bizarre tale of being held captive and chained up and that people were in the basement. When officers arrived at Heidnik's residence, former police lieutenant James Hansen remembers it as being sort of intimidating. It had metal doors on it and all the windows had bars, and in the bars was a crucifix. The media would later dub it the House of Horrors. Another officer, John Cannon, recounted, the television was up playing really loud. We went to the cellar door, down to the cellar, in the back, and sure enough, lying on the floor were these half-naked girls, and they were screaming, "We're saved! We're saved!" Hansen added, I opened the freezer, and I went to enough autopsies to know they were body parts. During his trial, Heidnik's attorney attempted, but failed, to establish that Heidnik was legally insane. One factor that undermined this claim was Heidnik's significant wealth, at least $500,000 amassed through savvy financial investments. He was convicted on 2 counts of first-degree murder, 6 counts of kidnapping, and 5 counts of rape. He received a death sentence and was executed July 6, 1999, in Pennsylvania, making him the last man to be executed in the state.
Wow. Wow.
So that happened.
Dude had a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of sickos out there, you know.
You said he had 5 rapes, 6 kidnappings. You were just naming off. Oh, he had.
He had a lot.
He had a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. And then I found, this is not Crime Time, but I guess it could be. I just came across this article. It's from the African Archives on Instagram. When enslaved Africans escaped from the United States into Mexico, they crossed more than a border. They crossed into freedom. Mexico had abolished slavery in the early 1800s, and under Mexican law, no human being could be held as property. Once on Mexican soil, U.S. slave catchers had no legal power, and those who made it across could no longer be enslaved. Thousands of black fugitives, as they were called, built new lives in Mexico. They formed families, joined towns, took Mexican names, and became part of the nation's fabric. Some of their descendants even fought for Mexico in later struggles, including the Mexican Revolution that was from 1910 to 1920, when ordinary people rose up against dictatorship and inequality. So that was interesting, just a little interesting tidbit that I had.
What did you want for your crab cakes?
Maybe just some mayonnaise.
Okay. We're going to do the taste test. So we made crab cakes. Well, you know, we didn't make them, but...
I love making them, though.
Oh, you know what else is good, too, that we like to make is tuna patties. Those are really good. Mm-hmm. But we have crab cakes, and then we have... What's the exact name of those again, baby? The potato?
Cream cheese gratin.
Mm-hmm. So, taste test, y'all. Crab cakes and Duke's mayonnaise. And Josh Stone.
Perf.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all. Back to the episode. Don't you wanna ride, baby? Don't you wanna ride?